Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for this morning. We are so grateful, not take anything for granted. It is not everywhere you manifest your presence. Wherefore, as we go to your word this day, Father, I duck under cover of myself, spiritual fathers, and I entreat you for mercy. It is not of him that willeth, for it is not of him that runneth, but to whom you show mercy. I'm trusting you for mercy today, Lord, to enable me to minister effectively as an oracle of God, and enable me to bring out of treasure of God things new and old, as a scribe instructed under the kingdom. As your word goes forth, let it edify the body. Let it cause our wills to become more humble, our minds to further enlightened with revelation knowledge of Christ's life, and our emotions to be further controlled and tempered by the power of the Holy Spirit of the Holy Spirit. I also pray that, Father, as we go to your word, your presence increase in the atmosphere to break yokes, to meet needs, cause glory to go to the name of yours, and blessings towards the sons of men. Lord, help me to redeem time, not to say things that are unnecessary. Give me praise and glory unto your name, in Jesus' name. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. I thank God for the privilege once again to share. We've been in this book of 1 Timothy now for quite some time, and we stopped last year in 1 Timothy chapter 4. We're able to finish chapter 4, but for a brief recap, because we've been there, we've not studied for quite some time because of church holiday. Let's go back to 1 Timothy chapter 4, and we'll go through the last two verses. You know, Paul had been talking to Timothy in his letter about seducing spirits from verse 1, things that were happening in this end time, and he kept on and kept on and kept on. And in verse 16, it says something. Let's read verse 15 and 16. Meditate. Verse 15. Meditate upon these things. Give thyself wholly to them, that thy profit may appear to all. Next verse. Now it says, take heed unto thyself and unto the doctrine. Continue in them, for in doing this thou shalt do what? Both save thyself and them that hear thee. Put it back in verse 15 and we'll look at it briefly before we move to next chapter today. It says, meditate upon these things. What things was he talking about here? If you go back to, I think, in verse 8, it says that godliness is profitable unto all things. So as he began to round up, because the Bible wasn't written in chapter and verse, as he began to, in this verse, he now said, meditate upon these things. That is, my son, meditate on being godly. Are you following him? Say, meditate on these things. He says that not only meditate, say, give yourself wholly to them. Say, holy. Holy. You see, if you don't do those two things by meditating on them and then giving yourself wholly to it, you will not, it'll be difficult to experience the profiting that he's been talking about. Are you following me? That is, he was telling him, and also God is telling us from this episode, that we need to meditate. First thing we need to see there is that hidden there is this, that is, God wants our prophet to appear to all. He didn't say to some. That is, he doesn't want us just to people to see our prophet amongst ourselves, the body of Christ. But he wants all, including both born-again Christians and unbelievers. So, but for this to happen, he says that we have to meditate on these things. What does it mean to meditate? To meditate means to think upon, to ponder, you know, to muse, to take time to focus your mind on a particular subject. You see, he said, when he said meditate on these things, he has spoken about quite a number of things. But you see, he was actually talking about the God being godly. You see, he's not saying that there are many things in the Bible that you can read about. You can read about the end time, you can read about the rapture, you can read about seducing spirits and all that. But he said there's a particular thing I want you to spend time on, which if you focus on, will bring about the profiting to all. So he's talking about putting an emphasis on a particular thing, which is godliness. Praise the Lord. So you meditate. What does it mean to be godly? It's to be like God-like. Say God-likeness. Pastor has talked over and over. He says, meditate on being like God, which is being conformed to the image of Lord Jesus Christ. And when you do that, becoming like God, what it simply means is this. Like becoming like God, let's say together, in wisdom, in character, which is love, and then in power. Wisdom, character, and power. Let's say together, wisdom, character, and power. Wisdom comes first. Well, wisdom is the principal thing. Then followed by character. And then power. This power that we're expecting. So it's in that order. You need to grow up into God in wisdom, in power, in character, and also in power. Praise the Lord. So like I said, it's to think upon, to meditate. And the scripture that summarizes or captures this properly is in Joshua chapter 1, verse 8. Because the same thing that Paul was saying to Timothy's son here, it was the same that God told Joshua when they're about to enter the promised land. One of those verses, because this book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt do what? Meditate. Say meditate again. Therein, day and night. So God does not leave any room. That thou mayest do what? Observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then, say then, thou shalt make thy way what? Prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. Or your profiting will appear to all. So you see, God has not changed. The same thing told them in the Old Testament, it's also telling us in the New Testament, that if you will meditate upon these things, and then give yourself wholly to them. What does it mean to give yourself wholly to them? The scripture that I really brings it out again, I've just mentioned it because of time, is in the book of 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 23. Which that the very God of peace sanctify you wholly. So you see, God doesn't want us to give part of our selves to the word of God, especially becoming like Christ. Or else the profiting will not appear. So you can see why we are why we are where we are today. We don't give ourselves holy, but God wants us to give ourselves holy. That scripture says that, you know, that God sanctify you holy, spirit, soul, and body. Say spirit, soul, and body. So you see, that's why the Lord just says, he said this when in the gospel, he says, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy mind, with all thy strength, with everything. Your spirit, soul, and body is involved in this thing. Then and only then shall your profit appear to all. Let's look at the scripture and put the scripture behind. 3 John chapter 2, verse 2. There's only one chapter. No, where it says, beloved, I wish above now prosper and be in health, even as your soul prospers. Yes. 3 John 2. Are we there? It says, beloved, I wish what? Above all things, that thou mayest prosper and be in health, even as thy soul prospereth. So it ties again to the prosperity of the soul. Seek first the kingdom of God, and all this shall be added unto us. Praise the Lord. Now the other scripture I want to take here is that the word appear. Say appear. Appear. So when it says thy profiting shall appear, that means it's not an instant thing. That means it's going to take time. Apart from God wanting to appear, he says that it's going to take time. What do we mean by this thing appearing to all men? Like I said, look at it again. Let's look at the scripture, because we are trying to do a brief recap. 1 John chapter 3, verse 2. Thank you, Holy Spirit. God wants this to appear. 1 John chapter. Now let's look at it. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be. But we know, say we know, that when it shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. Then it says, everyone that has his hope in himself purified himself, even as he is pure. I found, so when we are talking about the glory here, the manifestation of the glory of God that is imminent, we're in that season. You know, in Colossians 3:4 says the same thing. It says that our lives are hid in Christ God. So when Christ is alive shall appear, we also shall appear with him in glory. So we are talking again about the manifestation of the glory of God. Praise the Lord. So this manifestation is what we're talking about. The glory of God being made manifest. The pastor has been teaching us about when that glory manifests, everybody will see that it is profitable to serve God. Like pastor was just mentioned, it just came last on Wednesday when he was exhorting us after the ministration. He said something that when people look at Christians now, you can see unbelievers, Buddhists, you know, Muslims that are morally upright. So if you stand beside a Christian and they look at both of you in the natural, there's no difference. You have one wife, he has one wife. You have a good job, he has a good job. You know, if you look at it in the natural. So then the guy tells you, well, I don't need this, your Jesus. What is the difference? I got all this without Jesus. So why do I need him? That's the thinking of a natural man. That is, I think I've achieved all this without Jesus Christ. So why do I need him? I follow me. So why do I need him? So it's the, well, that's why God, if this thing does not occur, then these people will not be able to come into Christ. Like pastor said, he said they are going to come in chains to you and say, surely they will see something. God is indeed. This kind of prosperity I'm talking about is not the one that I have. I follow him. So that is what God wants to do. So he says that God wants appearing, you know, to profiting to appear before all men. Bible says, arise, shine, for thy light is come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon you. Say, Gentiles shall come to the brightness of thy what? Rising. Kings to thy light. That is where we are now. So it is important in summary to first of all say, meditate on these things. Give ourselves holy, spirit, says God, spirit, soul, and body unto these things, that what are profiting may appear to all, both Christian and Gentile. Praise the Lord. Now verse 16, what does verse 16 say? Let's read verse 16, 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 16. He says, take heed unto thyself and unto what the doctrine. Continue in them. Say, continue in them. For in doing this, thou shalt both what? Save thyself and them that hear thee. So he's talking about salvation again. So he couldn't be talking to Timothy about being born again. Was he already born again? I follow him. So he couldn't be talking about being born again. He's talking about the total salvation, spirit, soul, and body. I said, give yourself wholly unto them. Why would he tell him to take it to himself? He's already born again. So you can see that where the error is in the church. Being born again, and people believe that their destiny is just to go to heaven. Savior is not talking about going to heaven at all. I follow him. So why would he, if he's talking about being profiting in the earlier verse, and talking about saving yourself, so is it when you get to heaven that the unbeliever that does not go to heaven will see your profiting? So he has to be here. In the last now, like you say. So, help me, Holy Spirit. So it says, take it unto yourself. What does it mean to take it to yourself? Talks about basically your heart. Say your heart, my heart. Your heart. Are you following me? Which talks about the honesty of your heart and the humility of that's what you take it to. It's because honesty give the heart, but say, keep the heart what? With all what say all diligence. For out of it flows the forces of life. You see, if you don't take it to your heart, it will affect the measure of mercy and grace that comes to you as a Christian. That is why the most important thing you need to keep guard over is your heart. That attitude of honesty, which will attract the mercy of God, and attitude of humility that will attract what? The grace of God. And Pastor started the time, insufficient measure. Let's get that insufficient measure. You see, you can attract mercy and grace, but it may not be sufficient. So that's what we take it to. The honesty of our hearts and also the humility of our hearts. So we can attract sufficient measure of the mercy and the grace of God. That is why that scripture just comes to me, to mentioning of Hebrews chapter 4. It's any time you go to God to pray, God is not going to give you, if you're asking for money or anything. What God does is He releases His life and His in the form of mercy and grace. What Pastor says, therefore let us come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need or to meet that need. So you see, when God is not going to drop naira from heaven, He's going to release, because it's not spiritual. So as He releases it, the thing comes down and now creates or brings that thing into manifestation. So your focus as a Christian primarily should be how to attract more mercy and more grace. So the more of that that you, that's what you, when you are praying and you are visualizing your everything, what God releases life, messages of life. Bible says that by His life were all things made. It is that life that creates. I don't have time to turn there today, but see, that's what happens when we pray. So God gives us measures of grace, measures of mercy, so we can meet every need. Praise the Lord. Insufficient measure. So you take it to your heart. That is the receptacle. That is what determines how much you receive. He also says that unto the doctrine. Everybody say doctrine. What doctrine? Doctrine generally means the word of God. But in particular, if you look at what he's been saying since, he's been talking about the doctrine according to godliness. That is the emphasis I want us, not just the general God, which is true, but now focus should be on being like God. 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 3. Help me, Holy Spirit. 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 3. It says, If any man teach otherwise, and consent not to wholesome words, even the words of our Lord Jesus Christ, and unto what? The doctrine which is according to godliness. Let's look at the doctrine which is according to godliness. Next verse. He is proud, knowing nothing, but nothing about questions and strifes of words, whereof cometh envy, strife, railings, and evil surmisings. So if people don't take heed to this doctrine according to darkness, they are proud. So I see over half of the church today are walking in pride, and they veered off. Because this is the center. This is the focal point. This is where you should focus on. So once you don't focus on that, the Bible says the end of the commandment is what? Charity out of a pure heart. That heart again. And of a good conscience and of faith on faith. Except for which some have swerved away. Like you are driving from here to Lagos. And then let's say you're driving, I was driving wherever. And then the driver with passengers in the car falls asleep. What happened to the vehicle? It will swerve off the road. So can I make a lot of churches today that are carrying people and moving towards the destination. They generally, the Bible says that the needle of a compass points north. So they're already going to that destination, which is the perfection and the fullness of Christ. But their leader or the driver begins to slip off. And begins to doze off and begins to nod. It goes like this. And it goes like this. All of a sudden, it just swerves off the road. Onto vain jangling. That is the state of most people in the church today. So the most important thing is take it to yourself and to this doctrine. So anywhere you don't hear this doctrine as their destination according to godliness, don't board in that vehicle. Just get down. I follow him. Praise the Lord. So, and he now says something back to help me, Holy Spirit, today. Continuing them, say continuing them. For in doing this, as is continuing them, thou shalt both save thyself, and them that hear thee. So you see, he ties the final salvation of his spiritual body to yourself. Not really yourself, because it's God that works in us, both to will and to do of his good pleasure. But see, what he's saying is, if you don't continue in this doctrine of godliness, you will not be able to experience the total salvation of your spirit, soul, and body. And if you don't experience it, you cannot manifest the glory of God, which is what God is about to do. And also in doing that, he says you also save them that hear thee. That means that wherever you are, there are some people that God has put under you, which you begin to supplement, you draw them. They look at your lifestyle. So you begin to supplement their diet also. So he says you save yourself, Timothy, and them that hear. So it is not Timothy alone, so to speak, that God wants to be saved. And all those that hear him. Like I said that in Colossians, just come back to Colossians chapter 1. He said, warning every man, teaching every man, that we may prevent every man perfect in Christ Jesus. So every man, for every man to be perfect, they have to be under Timothy to hear what Timothy is saying, practice what Timothy is saying. So as Timothy, God saves Timothy's spirit, soul, and body, God also saves those that hear him. Are you following me? Praise the Lord. So I think that is that for today. Let's now go by the mercy of God to what we have for today. I put it there. I'm not done yet. One more scripture. Open John chapter 8 verse 31. The master talked about this aspect of continuing. You can't afford to give up midway. Then said Jesus to those Jews, Christians, which what? Believed on him. If you do what? Continue in my word. Say continue in my word. Then are you my disciples indeed? That means if you don't continue, you can't be disciple indeed. Next verse. And you shall know the truth. And you shall know the truth. And the truth shall make you free. Talks here about total freedom from the sin nature in the soul and in the body. That's that for today. So I said that we do this by daily continuing to use the blood, the word, and the spirit, to pray and to also walk in the spirit, to perfect God's love in our lives. And then we shall experience total salvation of our spirit, souls, and bodies, and also will provide covering for those that are under us. Praise the Lord. Now let's go to 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 1 today. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for mercy. Help me, Lord. Are we there? Now let's read together. Praise the Lord. Rebuke not an elder. Let's say it again. Rebuke not an elder, but what entreat him as a father, and the younger men as brethren. Verse 2. The elder women as mothers, the younger as sisters with purity. All purity. I missed that. That's the devil for you. Let's read it again. It says that the elder women as mothers, the younger as sisters with all. Everybody say all. All purity. Honor widows that are widows indeed. And then let's see how far we can go today. I don't think we have to go. Let's just see. Let's go back to 1. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Rebuke not an elder, but entreat him as a father, and the younger men as brethren. Last year, Pastor taught us a lot about this. In one talk about love, rebuke, and chastening. And he said there are two people the Bible does not permit us, or let me say God, so to drive it home properly, does not permit us to rebuke. Says you don't rebuke an elder, and don't rebuke scorners. If you rebuke a scorner, in Proverbs, say you get yourself a blot. So just leave a scorner. Pray for him. Secret love. But a scripture just flashes in my mind. Then what happened to the scorner? The Bible says when the he just went back again. In Proverbs, it says that the scorner, it says when the scorner is punished, then the simple is made wise. So that does not mean that if you keep quiet, God will allow you to continue. No, God will deal with the situation. So when the scorner is punished, you don't rebuke him. Okay, praise the Lord. When the scorner is what? Punished, the symbol is made wise. And when the wise is instructed, receiveth knowledge. So you see here, God is saying, leave this side to me. I know what to do. I'll deal with it. Amen. So don't rebuke an elder. I don't rebuke a scorner. But a scorner is surely going to be punished. Praise the Lord. So now let's look at this slowly. Rebuke not an elder. It seems as a father and a younger as brethren. I said, God does not permit us to rebuke elders. Pastor has taught us you are supposed to do what? Pray for them. Say, pray for them. You're not allowed to gossip about it. You're not allowed to. In fact, it Moses and Aaron, we're going to get there, sir. And Miriam. You see, it's this generation does not know how to honor their fathers. You see, you find, they're going to get there later. You find an elderly person talking to a younger person. Just by the mere attitude, he can sit down and put his hand in his pocket and look him in the face. When we were young, you dare not do it. I remember my dad. Our house is just in the corner like this. When he's coming, he will start pressing the horn from the corner. By the time he's getting to the gate, all the gates will be flung wide open. Then he will drive inside. But nowadays, you know, although some took it to an extreme, but now the other this generation, they take it to another extreme. Whereby there is even no respect. But see, what I want to see is this God that is talking to us about this issue. This is the manufacturer's manual. So we have to obey what he says. So I put it there. He says, what do you do? He says, you pray for them. And he says, don't rebuke them. That means there's a tendency for them to do something that will hurt you. You need to see that. Because you can't just wake up one morning and rebuke an elder. Unless you must have taken something, drugs. That means there must be tendency for them to have done something that has spoken to you harshly, or done something that is even wrong, like Saul and David. Yeah. But say, in spite of that, God said, don't you rebuke them. Yeah. Don't dare do it. Yeah. So what does God want us to do? Just pray for them. Yoruba have a saying, say, I'm supposed to be like JB. You say, entreat them as a father. That's why I like Yoruba culture. Some of my figures Christ must have been, if they didn't put in the Bible, if he had not gone to Jews, they would have come to Yorubas. Amen. You see, because Yorubas will say, oh, an elderly man is talking to you, you don't look into his face. He's not like Kishebe. No, Mokon. No, Kishebe. You start entreating him, start begging him. Then you find that most elderly people will say, okay, Motibom, I'm forgiving you. They say, Ishikon. Maybe why he's wrong. So it's a godly thing. We'll see why. You see, God is not unjust, but there's a reason for it, which we need to understand. And I'm trusting the Holy Spirit will bring it out gently. So you respect them. You value them. You pray for them. Let's open to, in 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 1, Amplified, it says, don't, I think it says, to rebuke is to amplify. That's it. Say, do not sharply what? Censor or rebuke an older man, but entreat and plead with them as you would with your father. Are you following me? You would with your father. Treat the younger men like brothers. So what is he saying? He told him, he said, look, when in the church you are in, there are elders there. Now we're going to see that elders are two levels. Spiritual elders and natural elders are older. Elders, somebody is older than you, either spiritually or in the natural. About all the guy, are you following me? So he says, don't rebuke them. Treat them the same way you treat your father. So that means that there should be in every home. I follow me. This when you have brought up your children. So if your children don't know that they are, God expects Timothy by writing this to have learned from the home how to honor his father. So Paul can say, okay, the same way you treat your natural father, treat the elders in the church. That is the problem with this generation. They don't honor their fathers. They don't have fathers at home. So they have not learned how to honor fathers. So they carry that same spirit into the church. They carry that same spirit to the school. They carry that same spirit to everywhere they go. And they dishonor their parents. I follow him. So he says that you should not censor, you should not rebuke. Say entreat, plead, beg. I follow him. Let's keep going on. So he says that you don't criticize them. You don't condemn them. You see, you don't do it at all. You make it worse when I do it publicly. So, elder are two levels. Elder by virtue of church leadership and elder by natural by biological. I for say, look at elder by virtue of leadership. Numbers chapter 12, I will reach. You see, let me forgive. Put in Numbers 12. You see, this here we know. We've talked about it. Pastor has preached about it, and it keeps coming up again. You see, God. You know the situation here. Let me just give background. Aaron, and Moses. Aaron was the eldest, followed by Miriam and Moses. And let me give background. It was Miriam that was looking after Moses when they put him on River Nile. That's a baby. I follow him. So that should be respect. So, but when God was going to choose, he did not choose Aaron, he did not choose Miriam to lead, but he chose Moses because he looked at the heart. Now, the situation arose here, like Pastor told us, that Moses now married an Egyptian woman, which looks Ethiopian woman, which looked wrong, a Shunammite. That tells you that from time immemorial, Africans have been very beautiful. Praise the Lord. For Jews born after African women. You're bad. So, this man saw this lady and must have been more beautiful than Zipporah. And that does not mean that you go marry some people think. Anyway, God forgive me. Let me stay on the point. So anyway, they corrected him. They rebuked him. What nonsense is this? I does not speak to you alone. How did God hear Moses? You see, one thing I want you to see is that, you see, when they said that, there's a current jealousy and envy. If there's, you see, that was why they spoke against him. The Bible says somewhere in Psalms, said they envied Moses and Aaron. So it was, and spoke on that. So they were envious that God bypassed you to us to pick you. So they were looking to undermine his authority, thinking their foolish minds that if they can bring him down like that, maybe God will now, okay, Aaron, take over. Miron, tell him, Moses, go on down. But God did not see like that. So we know what happened. God called all of them to a meeting. Oh yeah, see me in my office. And God's office in the Old Testament was the tabernacle. So he called all of them, say, oh yeah, march to the office, verse 4. Oh, let's move on, verse 3. Oh, let me see. The man Moses was very meek above all men, including Aaron and Miriam. And upon the face of the earth. Next verse. And the Lord spake suddenly unto Moses and unto Aaron and unto Miriam. Come out, ye three, unto what? The tabernacle of the congregation. And they three came out. My office. That is going to be very important. Because there's a way it must be done. God did not rebuke them in the midst of the congregation. Do you know why? Do you know why you must not do it? Because if God had rebuked Aaron, rebuked Miriam before everybody, without taking the authority, they've lost the authority. So if Aaron should come the next day and say, God says you bring your bullocks, they say, only yeah. Or Miriam was still a prophetess. If she brought the word before the people, they said, don't mind him. Or her, rather. God has rebuked you before us. That is why you must not do it publicly. Why? Because that person didn't have his authority on him. So he called them upstairs. They did not see the rebuke, but they saw the effect. So you see, because people generally have heard what happened, so that they will not say that God was unjust, he didn't deal with the situation. But he did not see the rebuke, but they saw the effect when they came out. It is that public rebuke will have affected the heart of all people. I was thinking about the situation. And this doesn't all apply to spiritual. It applies to whoever you have delegated authority to. You don't call somebody that you have put in a position of authority and then you rebuke him before juniors. And then you are very irresponsible. What you have just done is that you have just brought down, undermined the authority of that person. So next time the person stands before them and says, yes, I have an instruction that you should go and do this. There's a but you know what, responsible, I can't obey you. The Bible says that a foolish woman with her own hands blocked down her hands, a house. But the wise man builds it up. Also applies to a man. That's why you must not do it. Remember when you were young, when her parents wanted to correct maybe my elderly sister after she was in university or something, they would say, Yama, listen to Yara. They will not know, although we are very mischievous, at times go and try and listen to what's going on. But anyway, they will deal with the situation, but we'll see the effect. The effect is what is important. She will come out, she'll walk in cautiously. So you know that whatever has taken place there has made that person to walk cautiously. So I don't want to rebook another. So I don't know what they did, whether they came or they gave him an injection. But see, the effect is what you want to see. I follow him. So you don't undermine that person's authority, because the person is still going to come back and going to send them to the people. And when you send the people, because of what you have done, you have brought him low. So they won't respect him again. So deal with those things in private. Except, I don't know, pastor will clarify. In a situation whereby, I don't know. But that's how God, let me say, primarily deals with those things. So we've seen that elder by natural birth. I want to put the scripture here. Leviticus chapter 19, verse 32. There's something that is missing in this generation. Yes. That God needs to get back to our children and younger generation. Turn back to the fathers, thank you. And the fathers to the wisdom of God. That is the Elijah ministry. Lest I smite the earth with a curse. If that is not done, there's a curse coming on that generation. It will not come in Jesus' name. We are going to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children. But see, the best way you can begin to practice is anybody in authority over is an elder. Anybody. Anybody in authority is going to be an elder. So you need to honor that person. Even if it's 1 year, I put authority, maybe you are just honor the person. Yes, sir. In secondary school, you dare not. Some senior boys, oh God, if I go there, will not be able to. But see, what I'm trying to say is this. In those days, there was so much reverence for authority. And we are not born again. But you knew that if you do something wrong to that senior, the same thing. Meet me in my room. That you are a dead man. You will fetch water. You stoop down. You don't know what to mean, stoop down. Angle, and there's one called angle 90, that you do something like this. And then you'll be there. And then you see you will have what we call, in GCI, we call it tears, or college brother. You dare not go and tell them. You think that maybe they will support you. You have made a mistake. You just compound your problem. By the time you finish that punishment, or they give you a portion of grass to cut, and by the time you finish, you become what Moses became before that thing happened, the meekest man on earth. So when they call you and say, one boy, I'm a cunning boy, So, that is but the thing I want us to. This is all gone. It's all gone. You see, an elderly person coming. You know, you see, it's difficult for this generation to greet them. The one that wants to greet you like this. Then put his hand in his pocket. It happens all the time. Put his hand in his pocket. Then his daddy is talking to him, he sits down, crosses his leg. And then, you know, and then he looks at him. After I give instruction, already by that attitude, you can know who will not obey. And then you now wonder why we see what we see in this generation in America. All because of a simple disobedience to God's instruction. So that is that. Then Leviticus says, thou shalt rise up before the hairy head and honor the face of the old man and fear God and the Lord. Now look at what God ties it to, fear God. That means if you don't stand, if you don't honor, you don't fear God. So God is not going to wait to know your attitude. Like I said, I'm going to get there. See, if you don't honor those above you, that means that the same thing you are doing to them, what you're going to do to God. So it's going to be easy for you to wake up tomorrow morning and then you sit down, you want to pray, and then cross your legs, say, our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done. Yeah, am I still? Irreverence. So he says, I said, you shall rise up. Say, rise up. Rise up means stand up. Doesn't mean wake up in the morning. Say, rise up before the hoary head. And honor the face of the old man and fear thy God. That means these are indications of those that fear God. When they honor and stand up before other men. And we're going to get there, sir. So you see, now let's look at another example of Noah in the Bible. Genesis chapter 9, verse 20 to 23. Genesis chapter 9, verse 20, Message Bible. Message Bible. Now see, I want us to message, but when I was reading, I saw something. Because you see, I used to wonder, what happened? But you see something. Say, Noah was a farmer. Was the first, say first, to plant a vineyard. So nobody had ever tasted wine before. Now. Listen, if, for example, Noah had an history of Adam and so and so getting drunk, then we have said he has no excuse, even though we don't rebuke. But nobody had ever tried it before. The Bible says a just man falls seven times. He said God will uphold him. Now Ham. You. Oh my God, have mercy on me. Ham was so. I want you foolish. We can be foolish at times. God did not talk to you when you're building the ark. The man built the ark. He gave instructions like similar to Moses. You enjoy discovery. You would have perished with that generation. Now the man makes a mistake. And it wasn't a mistake. Just nobody had ever planted a vineyard before. So you don't know what will happen when you start. You know the effects. They didn't know the effects. So, next verse. He drank from its wine, got drunk, and passed out naked in his tent. Now, Kumamashu, in Kotolan Rini, at Yaham or you, Kolan Jakario, that our pastor said, it's not your business. Mind your business. In trying to do some things, work some things out, the elders can make some mistakes because you have never gone this way before. Because we are moving on to perfection. So, when nothing occurs, don't do what Ham did. I now spoke. You know, the Bible, the king just put it. Now, what he did was, I went out. See, the person that brought us, Otiyo, naked. And you know, the sad thing is this. I was thinking about this thing. It is not because he did not know what to do. He knew it from Adam. I knew it from God. When they lost the glory, they covered themselves with fig leaves. When God saw that, God did not rebuke them. He killed an animal and covered them. So, you don't have an excuse. You have covered your father's nakedness. So, he did not do that. So, he can't say he didn't know. He knew that nobody had planted a vineyard before. He knew what they did when Adam and Eve became naked. He knew. Shem, Ham, and Japheth. Because of time, I keep talking about it. When he stole them, they heard the same thing. Attitude was different. Then they took clothes and they walked backwards like this. Well, I will not. Then they dropped it and walked away. Types and shadows. That's what you do. You walk in love. Love covered as the love of all of a multitude of sins. So the love, they just covered it. So you're not waiting for somebody to get drunk. My pastor will never get drunk. You see, people think carnally and say, when without alcohol, that's what we're talking about. It's love of God. Cover the body of sins. Keep in that. Shem and took a cloak, held it between them and their shoulders, walked backwards and covered their father's nakedness, keeping their faces turned away. So they did not see their father's exposed body. What you don't see, you can't talk about. There are some things God does not want you to see. Spiritually talking. In someone, just coming to him like, he says that, oh God, help me, it's coming again. The secret things belong unto God. But things that are revealed because of you. So if God does not show you, just keep your mouth shut, like pastor said, and just move on. And you do that basically by walking in love. That's why he said, like, back to what pastor taught us. Pray for them. You don't know what is going on. Pray for them. So you see, he brought a curse upon Ham's son. Up to today. So you see why God is not unjust. So see, if you don't read all this background at times, I never saw the entire studying and preparing. I was wondering, I was asking in punishment to the entire generation. Look at what the man did. He had knowledge of Adam and Eve. He knew what the Adam he said, "Cast be Canaan, a slave of slaves, a slave to his brothers." What did I share? Cain, you know what I'm saying? Cain, when nothing occurred, thank God for Jesus. That is the way of escape. Because we have been redeemed from the curse of the law. Christ has made the curse for us. But what I'm saying is, don't go there. Don't go there. Don't go there. Don't even go there. He was the first person to plant the vineyard. I don't want to preach a message on that. That's not that message entirely. That is the church. The first person to plant a vineyard. Let's move on. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Then I want to see Moses and his father-in-law. Open to Exodus chapter 18. You know, in 18, you know, Moses had this same Moses we are talking about that married an Ethiopian woman. He had issues. The Bible doesn't say explicitly, but we can know from things that happened when God told him to go to Egypt to go and deliver the people. You know, and he must have been discussing with Zipporah. Because you see, we are Midianites. So they did not believe in circumcision. He must have told them, let's circumcise their children. This is what God told Abraham to do. But Zipporah must say, look, this, what kind of doctrine is this one? Now, imagine what Moses was going through 40 years in his father-in-law's house. His father-in-law that will give him food. He was watching over his father-in-law's sheep. So can you imagine God doing to was bringing in humility? But can you imagine if you don't have a good father-in-law and a wife, how they'll be despising him? No, you know, this happens in African culture. That they would have been looking at him and saying, when I said God calls you, you this murderer, you killed somebody. Because there will be contest, no home that they don't fight. Yeah. So you have said, when are you going? Why are you going to get a job, sir? Eh? You are doing this thing, and then they will be looking down on. So you can imagine what Moses was going through. So with that in the background, yeah. I follow me. God now said, move. So he moves. So finally, Oni, you've gotten a job in Lagos. So let's go. I'm trying to paint the picture. So he's going back to Egypt. I didn't say Lagos is Egypt. But anyway, as they were going to Egypt, after God commissioned him, God now tells him and says that, okay, Moses, immediately God was going to slay him. And then instantly, Zipporah takes a sharp stone and circumcises Geshem. I think Geshem was the firstborn. And then he took whatever he cut off and threw it at Moses' feet. I said, thou bloody husband. In Yoruba, that means Akpanyo. He did not call Moses Akpanyo. His God has said they should do it. He has done. So the next time we see what happens is that they must have gone back. Zipporah and the two children. So Moses was alone. So see why he did what he did. Now, follow me. This is what I want to get at. In spite of all that, when this man now came with the Jethro, the priest of On, a godly man, says, and Moses went out to meet his father-in-law. He did not wait. Put the one thing on the gate. He just stood up around to meet him. And did what? Obeisance. That's what I want to say. Did what? Obeisance. Now, he did what? What I want to see is this. The fact that you are a pastor or in a position of authority in the church does not mean that you despise your father-in-law or mother-in-law or your own natural father or the hoary head. In spite of Moses' anointing and the things that happened to him across the Red Sea, all the plagues of Egypt, when he heard his father was coming, his father-in-law, he stood up, ran to the gate, and did bow down. And Jethro, that's what I'm to say. Jethro was not a Christian. He was not born again. He was not a Jew. He didn't say, because of the anointing on my head, you are the one that bowed down to me. No! No! You know, there's something we have to learn. God does not God respects and honors authority because it goes back to him. Natural or spiritual. So, now the consequence of this, I've just been talking, can move to the next verse, was that if he had sent him, go back. After all, you took my wife and my children or whatever, go back. He didn't say that. Because he said, I and your father, next, the verse before, he says that, Jethro, your father, next verse, okay, he says, and he said unto Moses, that's Jethro, I thy father-in-law, Jethro, I'm come unto thee and thy wife and our two sons with her. So, the good man. Yes. But there must have been something going on in the family. Bible doesn't say it. So he brought them back. So, next verse. And Moses said, pay to obeisance, kiss them and they asked each other of their welfare, blah, blah, blah. Now, this one together. If Moses had dishonored that man, he would have died young. You know why? The next reason was that Jethro said, he saw him say, Moses, you will die. Look at how you are counting, giving this evil instruction, morning, day, and night. He said, listen to me. If you don't want to die young, You are better appoint people than give them different assignments, so that they will not. So it is the most difficult ones that they will come and meet you. Attitude. The answer for Moses' longevity was hid in the heart of Jethro, an unbeliever. And he got it by paying obeisance, by bowing down and honoring that man, in spite and despite whatever has happened. In spite and despite Zipporah. He didn't say, "You called me a bloody king once in by. You heard that God has delivered us. Now you are coming. Is it time to come? I will show you who is in charge. I'm not a man of God. I will show you." So you know what happened? I will have time to read it. It says, "Hearken unto my voice. I will give thee counsel. And God shall be with thee. And thou for thy people unto God toward what? That thou mayest bring the causes unto God." Next verse. "That will surely wear away, both thou and these people that is with thee. For this thing is too heavy for thee. Thou art not able to perform it thyself alone." As a place, I don't have time because of time. What I told them, and he said that something like, I can't remember, but it was time for you. Whatever I've told you, you can cross check with God. That's it, I've said it too. And the Bible says that Moses obeyed his father in law. And let's just, maybe I'll just stop here today. Say, "Thou and thy people to perform thyself." Next verse. "And thou shalt teach them ordinances and laws, and shalt show them the way when they may walk." Notice again, just coming to me. He was not a Christian. He did not impose his doctrine on them. He could have been a Buddhist. He could have been a Muslim. He didn't say, "What you are doing is wrong." He didn't say they must do this. He didn't bring his own doctrine to the situation. That means he knew that what Moses was teaching them was right. That shows the heart of that man. I follow me. So he says that wherein they must walk, and walk that they must do. Next verse. I'm going to stop. "Moreover, thou shalt provide out of all the people able men such as fear God, men of truth, hating covetousness." These are unbelievable. "Hating covetousness, and place such over them to be rulers of thousands and rulers of hundreds, rulers of fifties and rulers of tens." That's where we get it from. That's the first place it came from. Next verse. "Jethro, an unbeliever. And let them judge the people at all seasons, and it shall be that every great matter they shall bring unto thee, but every small matter they shall judge. So shall it be easier for thyself." He had that man in heart. He was his son-in-law. "And they shall bear the burden with thee." Next verse. "If thou shalt do this thing," and that's what I'm saying. God commanded. I've said my own, but check out with God. "And God command this so, then thou shalt be able to endure. And all these people shall also go to their place in peace." Selah. Okay, so that's okay. So Moses, you know why he's now the meekest man on the earth? Moses hearkened to the voice of his father-in-law and did all that he had said. Say all. That's it. So what is God trying to tell in summary? Let me talk about the consequences so that I can round up the aspect of elders. Then we can talk about mothers and all that later. What are the consequences of not doing this? We've already seen them. The Bible says in Ephesians chapter 6 verse 2. It says, "Honor thy father and thy mother, that it may be well with thee, that you may live long on the earth." The opposite is that if you don't honor them, you will not live long. I will not be well with you. Go and ask from the prodigal son. He was not well with him. And he came back to honor his father. He said, "Father, I have sinned before you. I don't have time to just go there." Are you following me? Then the second thing, I put longevity. One, it can bring a curse. We can see that already from Noah. Are you following me? It's not that they don't have to curse you. You just automatically move out of, it's like moving out of covering. Just go. Are you following me? So, and then longevity, long life. Everybody wants to live long. But learn to honor your father and mother. Then the third thing I put here is the help. It says, it can bring about a reduction in the revelation that you have, or light. And I'll give a scripture and then we'll close. Proverbs 30:17. We just have to stop there for today. Thank you, Lord, Holy Spirit. What does it say, Proverbs? "The eye that mocketh at his father and despiseth to obey his mother, the ravens of the valley shall pick it out, and the young eagle shall eat it up." Samson is a very good example. He disobeyed his mother. Now look at Samson and Moses. He said, He honored this. He didn't put father and lawyer, but that's what Moses did. So life kept coming. I follow me. So he says, the raven that said, I shall put it out. This morning was, we were beginning to get to come to church, we were in pastor's house, and the light went. So before they put on the generator, we were in a room, there was light. Pastor was giving us room. And all of a sudden it became so dark, we couldn't see, so we had to use the light on the phone to see as we were coming to church. The pastor said something. He said, you know that you can be in a place where there's so much light, and then yet you will not see light. Why? If you have a stubborn attitude, an attitude that you don't honor people at the heart level. It's like you, because the curtains in the room were down. There were light outside everywhere, but you could not see. You see, you can be in this house, God forbid. You can be under somebody's covering, God forbid. And then if you do not give the honor in your heart to them, what will happen? You'll be in darkness. I'm not able to see. But to end on a good note, that is not going to be our portion in Jesus' name. We're going to honor, let's say, we're going to honor our fathers, both spiritual and physical, and also our in-laws. Yes, it's important. Our in-laws! Thanks go easy, but we have to do it. Yes, so we have to do it. So that, Lord, what? So that we can live long, so we can be well with us, so we can be blessed. And then the intensity of light that we need to fulfill our purpose and destiny will not diminish. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. We give God the glory. You won't believe this. I just told Pastor Dewey only this morning that he was going to minister. He didn't know. I got up to pray around 4 a.m. I prayed a little bit, and I also felt, actually I'd been brooding over it, you know, and I just called him around 5. I said, prepare the Bible study. Let's give the Lord another super clap offering. Preach the word in season. Should always have the word in you. Amen. Now, I'm going to amplify one or two things. The first thing I want to amplify is meditate. Everybody say meditate. 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 Now, how do you meditate? Pastor Jerry touched on part of it, but I want to amplify another part of it he didn't emphasize. Go to Joshua 1:8 again. He said, this book of the law shall not do what? Depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein. In other words, talking has something to do with meditation. You can't meditate effectively if you don't say it. And I'll tell you the reason why. That's why we say, God have mercy on me, but you must say, because words contain spiritual life and power. Life and death are in the power of the tongue. So it is when you speak the word of God, it doesn't necessarily mean you don't have to quote 20 scriptures, but when you just say, you vocalize what God has said, you release light, life, which has light, for life and death are in the power of the tongue. That light is what enlightens your mind. It is what is enlightening your mind that you can now think on. If the mouth is not there, you don't have the material to think upon. Very, very important. Now that's why I said, he started with this book of the Lord, shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt. In other words, as you say it, you'll be able to think on it. I've said this many, many times. In the last few years, when I've taught on praying with your thoughts, you understand? There is no power in your thoughts per se. Do you understand? The power is in your words, but your thoughts not direct the power that your words have released. So, in the same way, when you say God's word, you release the power that creates the picture that your men can meditate upon. Words contain power. He said, "The entrance of his word giveth light." If you don't say the word, light will not come to your mind. If light doesn't come to your mind, you can't meditate effectively. Because meditation involves focusing your mind on the picture that the word has painted. Very important. The second thing I want to amplify that Brother Dewey spoke about, and I think that teaching on Ham and elders is... Let's give a lot of super clap after it was tremendous. You know,
And I 100% agree, Pastor Dewey and the Lord, on this, and I echo it for this generation. There is very little fear of God in this generation. I think I have said it many times, and I'm going to keep saying it. I thank God for when I was born. I was born in a window of opportunity of Nigerian history. See, those of us who were born between 1950, of course our own parents too, but we were a little bit more privileged than our parents, because by the time we were born, you know, our parents, the colonial thing was still there, but our parents, many of them had gone to England, they'd come back, they'd become more enlightened and all of that. The influence of fetish things was much lower than it was in the time of our own parents, who were born in the 20s and in the 1930s. You know, but 20-30 years later, in the 1950s, 1960s, early 60s, and probably a little bit into the 70s, it was a window. You find out those of us, those of us that were born were different. We are different from most of the people who are born in the 80s, you know, late 70s, 80s, 90s. Thank God for if those who are born to us in this kind of church, and because of the way we have trained you. But generally speaking, there's no respect for elders. There is no respect for elders. And that's why it's affecting their destiny. In other words, it's not a curse. Once you disrespect elders in your heart, you reduce the grace and the mercy of God upon your life. It's going to affect your destiny. Now, I want to emphasize something Pastor Dewey said. You know, he talked about Jethro and coming to Moses, and Moses' correct attitude in spite of Zipporah's bad behavior. And that was a good man. He brought the wife and the grandchildren back. Go and meet your husband. I'm staying in my house. And Moses honored him. No, Moses was an anointed man of God. I don't know how many of you know. Moses was the one who dealt with Pharaoh. At this time, Moses was the most exalted man on the face of the earth. Everybody had heard about Moses and what he did in Egypt and how great a man of God he was. If anybody had a reason to be proud, then it was Moses. He could have just told them, he wouldn't go and see him. He would send somebody, he would tell him he should take Zipporah and Kokbada. He could have done that. But the Bible says Moses was the meekest man. That was why he was chosen above Miriam and Aaron. God looks at the heart. But the point I want to make is this. That advice, yea, counsel, yea, word of God, it was to an unbeliever. Jethro, when we say an unbeliever, Jethro knew God, but not like Moses. He wasn't an Israelite. He didn't have a covenant with God, but he was a good man. And there are men like that still today. They may not be Christians, they may be Muslims or Buddhists or Hindus, but they may be good men. And let me tell you something, God talks to them too. Who gave Jethro that counsel? It was God. Now, he wasn't cocky. He wasn't pride, and God commanded this too. But look at it, and it's written in the scripture. Today it is scripture. Captains over tens, captains over thousands, captains over, delineation of delegated authority. And the Lord spoke to me while Pastor Dewey was speaking. You know, and he said, I should share it with us. He said, I didn't tell Moses that in a dream. I didn't tell him in a vision. He said, I speak to Moses every day. I said, I could have told him myself. He said, I did not tell him myself. I chose to tell him through his father-in-law. What stopped God from telling Moses himself? He could have just come to the tabernacle and said, you're going to kill yourself. You know, organize these people properly. God didn't do it directly. Many times, there are many things God, even if you are seeing vision every day, like Moses. He says, my servant Moses knows, so I talked to him face to face, but he didn't tell him that. There are many things God will not tell you directly. He will use somebody else. Like your father-in-law or somebody. Even though you hear God and you talk to God every day, there are some things he just won't tell you. He wants you to go and hear it from somebody else. You know why? To keep you humble. So you will not think that there is none like you in all the earth. As great as Moses was, as anointed as Moses was, with the level of communication God had with Moses, says, I speak to him like a friend face to face. God didn't tell him directly. God chose to channel that essential counsel for the longevity of his life through his father-in-law. No matter how much I fast, no matter how much I pray, no matter how much revelation I get, I must keep myself humble. Because there are some things God would not tell me directly. He may say it through my wife. He may say it through my children. He may say it through one of my pastors. And I have to be open enough to recognize that no matter how well I'm hearing from God, God will still tell me some things through other people. So I will always need other people. That we may comprehend with all saints what is the breadth, the length, the depth, and the height of God. And know the love of Christ, which is greater than knowledge. Selah. Stand to your feet. Lord, I come to you.
Let my heart be changed.
Renew my mind.
Your will
of
power.
Your will.
your head, your forehead, symbolic of your mind, and raise the other hand to God. I was saying to Pastor Puega, the end time Elijah ministry, he said, before the great and coming, I will send Elijah the prophet, and he will turn the hearts of the fathers to the of the children to the fathers, and of the fathers to children. That is why the first thing God, when we started teaching perfection, you know, in a much more structured manner, and what we call the seven pillars of wisdom, the first thing, the first pillar, is honesty and humility of heart. Because once you miss it there, it doesn't matter, you can speak in tongues, you can confess, you can, all those things are not going to be effective, or as effective as they should be, if there is not sufficient mercy and grace. And all that comes from that pillar number one. This issue of the heart, the honesty of the heart, the humility of the heart, cannot be overemphasized. And it's something you need to, that's why it says keep it with all diligence. You need to check your heart daily. He said, it is not on the way for communion. You have to do it daily. That's why we talk about judging yourself. Make sure, check that attitude. It's so easy for our attitude to slip off. Attitude towards elders, both spiritual and biological elders. And I want, as we're going to pray now, I want you to start talking to God in your heart by yourself now. And say, God, help my attitude. Help me to maintain it. I was speaking to our own generation who were born in the 1950s and into the 60s and into the 70s. We were taught respect for elders. We grew up with it. You know, no wonder why God chose our generation to be the generation that will carry the word of God. And this beyond rivers of Ethiopia. It was specifically targeted to our generation. We will not help the other generation. That God drained, he drilled it into us. As a young boy in secondary school, I was so reverential to authority. It carried over into my Christianity. If a senior boy, from one, if a senior boy walks in, everybody keeps quiet. Now, of course, there were some excesses in those days and all of that, but I'd rather the excesses than the nonsense we have today. The excesses didn't kill us. They didn't kill us. We were so respectful to elders. And I still have the same attitude now. To the glory of God. People who are old enough to be your parents or slightly older than you, you know, I can't even call them by name. It's either brother or sister or daddy or grandma. They should be. They have a whole generation that has lost it. Talk to God. Put that hand up. Say, Father, we confess our sins, especially the sin of a lack of reverence for elders, both spiritual and biological. Lord, we receive mercy with the cleansing of the blood of Jesus. In Jesus' name we have life. Lord, have mercy on us as we pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you for your word that has come to me this morning through your servant. Help me, Lord. Help me, Lord, to constantly in my heart reverence elders, whether they be spiritual elders or biological elders. Help me to reverence them in my heart and maintain an attitude of honesty and humility of heart, so that, like Moses, who you spoke about, was the meekest man on the face of the earth, I will attract your grace and your mercy. So I will live long, and it will be well with me. In Jesus' name, amen. Zifridi Linga Tolomatu Frida Fresh Tokum Tokum Tokum.
In Jesus' name, you may be seated. I cannot overemphasize this truth. The Western world, when I say the West, I'm talking about England, America, and all that, you know, have made a serious mistake. And we must not follow them. We must not follow them in this regard. You see a 40-year-old man talking to a 70-year-old man, calling him his name. You don't do that. You don't do that. God didn't teach us like that. The Bible says you will rise for the hoary head. In my business dealings, you know, because I have some computer business where the representative for Linux in the whole of Nigeria, you know, I interact with people. You know, there's a particular person who I've interacted with. He was the person who actually chose me. You know, he's older than me. He's Irish, nice guy. You know, so he says, Olubi, call me this. He said, call me John. I said, John, I can't call you John. You're older than me. I like calling him Mr. May. It's not that I call him John, but jokingly, you know, because he's older than me, I always give him that respect. And I discover that even though he's a white man, he likes it. He doesn't demand it. But he likes that. The same thing Itunu did when Itunu was in school, when she was in her A-levels in Malvern Girls High School. They had their sixth form teacher. Very elderly woman, like a grandmother. But she'd been teaching there for years and all of that. Itunu would kneel down. You know, they said, you don't have to kneel down for me. He said, no, that's how we do it. I mean, she wouldn't kneel, but she would cut, you know. And the woman said, you know, you don't have to do this. No other girl does it. She said, that's the way I've been. You know, the woman fell in love with Itunu. When Itunu was leaving the school, she wrote a testimony. She said, You are no longer a student, you became a friend and a confidant. He said, I could ask your opinion about things. What opened the door to the woman's heart? Respect. Although she's white, complete Oibo, complete white. And you know, everybody just calls themselves by name. You know, I have a message to the Western world. Stop it. Respect your elders. If somebody is senior, even if it's just a few years. Here, we had a good tradition. You know, we're losing it a little bit in some of our younger generation, but I don't want to lose it. And I know some corporate organizations, they do it now, everybody calls themselves by name. I don't think it's right. It's not right. It's going to cause disrespect. You know, when you put in that little distance, just respect and honor. Just call everybody, you know, and talk to anybody anyhow, you know, and you know, call him, you know, John, and call him, you know, Jill and Jane, and you know, no, Mrs. Susuanso, Mr. Susuanso, you know, sir. You know, with reverence. When the man comes in, everybody stands up. I cannot put a value on what we have heard this morning. And the mercy of God that caused our generation to learn those things. When we were younger, if somebody is 2 years, 1 year older than you, you call him brother. Brother. And I still do. Recently, I was at an old grammarian society meeting. This, you know, I went to CMS and we had our meeting. And, you know, some of them came to my house. Professor Lisomi, who used to be the former CMD, you know, and Engineer Kunle. These guys were prefects when I was in Form 1. So they were laughing at me. I said, brother, Shemo, Mushi Beru. That same respect I had then, I still have it now. They can't be talking to me and I sit down. And if they say, oh, Olubi, I want you to do this, Mani early, wow. That means you can't come. How? Come. I will come. I will come. Your senior will come. No. I mean, except in very extreme circumstances, but generally speaking, you give them that honor. It is the key to life. We don't, you know, it looks like a very small thing, but you can see from today's Bible study, it's not a small thing with God. It is not a small. That's why that story of Moses was recorded in such detail. In detail. Because we have a whole generation that knows nothing. Once a person is, I remember even my wife in St. Anne's and Lola Day in the Queen's Court, she's standing. If they're 1 year, you dare not call them by their name. It's either sister or brother. You know what is it? Respect. And when they are talking, even when you've been away for many years, you probably have more money than them, and you know you're more influential than them in society, you still treat them with that respect. My brother, you know. Yeah, that's how you will keep the grace of God upon your life. May God teach this generation. May this younger generation learn what we have learned. I wish I could fast back forward to those days. But it's not too late. For this prophetic Elijah ministry, part of our mandate is to turn the hearts of the children back to the fathers and the fathers back to the children. Thank you and God bless you.